Senator Anthony Palumbo, representing the first senatorial. Lots happening, as we all know, these days in the state capitol. We say a very good morning to the senator. Sir, how are you?
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me, Jay.
Always a pleasure. And, of course, you know, listen, I don't think it was a huge surprise. The attorney general coming out with a report. Did the right thing, reported it the right way regarding the undercount 50% nursing home deaths. There's been a lot of back and forth. There's been lawsuits. There's been FOIL-type situations in which transparency was not there. And then, of course, the bombshell last week with the secretary to the governor coming out and the leak to the New York Post, the revelation. Regarding that the administration hid the nursing home deaths as far as the actual number because of fear of the federal government, Department of Justice. And here we go. And now it's about trying to somehow dance around it. The governor coming to the airwaves the other day, Senator. So in essence, give me your assessment overall. And what does it mean right now?
Well, sure. And it's what we suspected, of course, right? And I think I said last time we spoke, the cover-up is sometimes worse than the crime. The fact that everyone was in lockstep, I think, it is a little bit surprising, but then again, not so much. But someone like Dr. Zucker, you know, the health commissioner, obviously he's appointed by the governor. He's got some loyalty to him. But the fact that publicly they were all lying, and it's not just like typical, you know, politicians that, you know, they're lying when they're moving their mouth, but you've got situations where we were directly asking about these numbers and they would all give the company line, which we now find out was untrue. That's where we get to the point that this is actually, if not actually, a commission of official misconduct. It's darn close, and we've been asking for subpoenas to issue. I may have mentioned that I'm on the investigations committee, among others, in the Senate, and we asked the chairman to issue his name is James Skoufis, and we asked him to issue a subpoena and said, Chairman, look, we're not even suggesting that there's anything untoward that we know of directly, but we want to just investigate. There's enough issue here that we should be doing our job, and we should be issuing subpoenas just to get to the bottom of those numbers, because that was a terrible mistake. It caused many deaths, and you have constituents still calling my office outraged because they lost loved ones as a result of that decision. People died. So this is not something that is just insignificant that we can wipe away with our hand. People are really concerned. And Senator Skoufis was very upset, saying this was an ambush, it's all political. And guess who was on that phone call when Secretary DeRosa, Melissa DeRosa, who's the secretary to the governor, gave that up? None other than Senator James Skoufis, the same guy. And the only time we got some transparency and truth was when DeRosa just said to them, for the purposes of political inconvenience, gave them an apology. We still haven't gotten an apology from the governor. That's what's the most outrageous part, Jay, is that Melissa DeRosa said in what was supposed to have been a secret conversation with a handful of Democratic senators only that, you know, I'm really sorry that you had to deal with the heat from the Republicans on that issue. But, you know, we froze and panicked because we didn't want to give that to the feds. Isn't that unfortunate? Not an apology for all of those people who have been, you know, looking to get this information and ultimately got it as a result of a lawsuit, not because of voluntary disclosure from the health department or the governor. It was after they were compelled to do it is when they changed their website and gave us most of the information. And quite frankly, I don't even trust what we have so far. I need to see those numbers myself.
No question. You know, this is kind of comparable if you have a little bit of a hole in your pants, right? Your pocket might be damaged somewhat, and you see some seam, some string, and you kind of pull it, and all of a sudden you're making the wrong move because you're unraveling not only the pocket but your pants. In essence, this is what has happened to Andrew Cuomo, Senator Palumbo, in the last couple of weeks, even to the comment, which, you know, Listen, they died. Who cares where they died? You know, it doesn't matter where they died. You know, listen, so disingenuous, disheartening, no compassion at all for those who lost loved ones. No, I thought the press conference the other day was deplorable. I really, really, they made it worse. No apology at all in there. You know, the void, as he said, in essence, that they did everything right. Really? You did everything right? I mean, I watched every one of those briefings in the beginning. I did. I really did. I watched over 100 of them. And, you know, the one thing, and I said this in the beginning, the one thing that bothered me was when the press finally got their questions in, they didn't know how to answer it, meaning the governor and his commissioner of the Department of Health, who I call deer in the headlight sucker, because it was he who really did not know how to answer questions as well. And the governor really didn't know policy. That bothered me. If you are managing, you're the manager of the state. You have to know everything, right? You have to know procedure and everything else. He didn't know how to answer those questions. And that's when I knew something was awry when it came to nursing homes, and especially accentuated with the edict of March 25th allowing COVID positives back into those venues. And look what has happened since. So, you know, I go back way, way into the beginning, and again, the comments and everything else and the unraveling of it all, you know?
No, and that's a good point. And he is obviously a very polished politician, and you never really see him flounder, right? But when the pressure's on, which is rare because the legislative correspondents up there are afraid of him, and people don't believe that. But I think we've now seen it, that they don't ask really hard questions because he is he can get angry very quickly. He'll take it out on you, or he'll have you removed. And that's really how he's always been, not just now when he has total dictatorship and executive power over everything. He's changed hundreds of laws by executive order. And I brought a hostile amendment on the floor of the Senate a couple weeks ago to remove his powers and say, guys, let's get back to doing what we are supposed to do as a co-equal branch of government. And, you know, they didn't do it. It was defeated. And now both sides of the aisle, the Democrats are starting to talk about we need to get back to business as usual and not allow him to have total control. But really, from the experience with him that I've known now for several years, been in the legislature 8 years, he's a master of deflection. And when you look at what he's doing now at the nursing homes, I don't know if you saw the other day, but suddenly the pivot was to nursing home reform. And he said, well, we really need to look at what happened because, of course, they did everything right. And the nursing homes themselves are at fault because they didn't have proper protocols and people died. Not because he directed that they take COVID-positive patients back, but because they didn't have proper isolation and so forth. So now he's deflecting and saying that this is about the nursing homes. And then he started talking about for-profit nursing homes. Quite frankly, I mean, it's disgusting, but it's genius. Because the ability to pivot the way he did and talk about profit over safety, that people's lives were lost, because these nursing homes are for-profit institutions, and how dare they not put the money into proper protocols, proper PPE, sufficient staffing. So he's immediately changed the narrative to point the finger now. I mean, because he doesn't have Donald Trump to point the finger at anymore, because everything was Donald Trump's fault that went wrong when Trump was in office. Now his buddy's the president. So now he's got to point at these nursing homes. And that's really where the conversation went. And I was just shaking my head saying, wow. And everybody's taking the bait that he's now talking about these for-profit nursing homes are the devil. Thanks to them, we had all these problems. We're going to review them. We're going to take a good hard look at them. And we're going to probably implement some new legislation that's going to really stick it to those evil doers, those people who try to make money off of people who are unwell. And it's an amazing game, and it's despicable, quite frankly, but that's where it's going. So I think everyone needs to really see through that and see the forest of the trees, because that's the game. And again, he's been doing it so long, he's very good at it, and I think people have taken the bait to an extent, but the media is not always on his side now. They're not blindly defending him, which may get a little bit more transparency out of
it. Here's the thing, we're talking with Senator Anthony Palumbo, you can't defend him anymore. See, that's the thing. See, I noticed a couple of things. I'm pretty good at body language. And this is a different governor as far as how he looks. He's wounded. He's wounded. There's no question.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be able to pivot out of this one. I really don't. Because the conversations are going to be ongoing. I mean, listen, look at the Department of Health, okay? When Tish James came out with a report on that Thursday, it was Zucker who had the number, what, 8,700 and change as far as the deaths? He moved that up to 12,007. Tish came out with the number of 13,000. Now you're about 15,000 plus if you had all the facilities and everything. So they danced, okay? They've been dancing and dancing. They're not going to get out of this one because this is serious stuff right now. See, my question to you is, I'm a little bit murky, Senator, when it comes to emergency powers here. And you know it's serious, by the way, when Democrats have, I think they're 14, I read, where they have now joined Republicans to demand that this governor be stripped of his pandemic emergency powers. Now, I'm a bit murky because, if I'm not mistaken, emergency powers should only last for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, right? Long enough to keep the public safe until the legislature can actually get into action here. But you look at everything involved here, Senator Paloma. He's been doing this now for nearly a year, right? I'm talking about wielding emergency powers. What happens now? I mean, I look at Democrats into the column of the GOP here. I mean, is it at the very least, his powers need to be out the door here. I mean, that's it. Enough is enough. You know, you look at everything involved here. You look at using those powers where restaurants have been decimated, businesses, schools. I could go on and on here. Even houses of worship. Thank goodness the Supreme Court came into play here with a rebuking of it. But in essence, at the very least, and it should be almost, I mean, emergency powers, right? I mean, he's had this thing 11 months. It has to go. It has to go at this point in time, no?
Couldn't agree with you more. And that's something that we've been talking about. And you look at when you have a strict compliance with executive orders, it is supposed to last for 30 days, right? He has to renew them every 30 days. He has to reissue new orders because they expire. And the legislature gave him more power during the coronavirus pandemic, gave him more authority. And look, and I've said this before, that emergency powers, I think we can all agree, by an executive, are important in a public crisis, in a health crisis, in an emergency, a state of emergency, because you need to do things without the deliberative, long legislative process, right? When you've got things like procurement of ventilators. That's something the executive should be able to just sign something and get it done. When you need to procure PPE, when you need to do emergency, you need emergency orders of the National Guard. Those are things that are done in fairly short order because you're in the middle of a crisis. The crisis has now flattened, right? Flatten the curve. That was a big deal, too. You flatten the curve, we're going to open back up and get back to business. The curve has been flattened since July, and that's not happening. And he has total control. We had to beg him to open ice rinks, had to beg him for this and beg him for that. And I quite frankly, I think he loves the attention because he has been holding everything close to the vest. We've got states who have less deaths than us, less hospitalizations, and have been open. Our businesses are decimated. Our landlords and tenants are getting killed. Really, I think many of them voluntarily aren't paying, but most of them are not. Because they just don't have the money because the tenants, the everyday workers, aren't back to work yet. So there's a way to do this smartly. And I've said this 100 times on your show and other public forums. Walmart hasn't closed for a day. Hardware stores haven't closed for a single day. And they're not super spreaders. So the hospitality business, as far as overall state income tax revenue, hospitality is number one in New York City. And it's number two statewide as far as revenue production. So this is really important that we get that business, those businesses back together and back at least moderately open so that they can stay afloat. So this is something that the arbitrariness of his decision where we had to keep everything closed, it was all about lockdown. Bill de Blasio says we should open. Then the governor, just to stick his finger in his eye, says, no, they have to stay closed. And then about a month or two ago, the governor says, we can't stay closed forever. We're going to have to open these businesses soon. But what happened to the science that you said was so important? So everyone understands now that those decisions were arbitrary, that nine people quit out of that Department of Health because they admittedly said we left because the governor doesn't listen to us and we're the experts. So we have a problem here with this governor for a number of reasons. And I think his ego and arrogance is 90% of the problem. But let's remove those powers, get back to the legislative process where we are a co-equal branch of government, and get back to business, because he has run the state into the ground. And before it's too late for just about all those businesses, we need to get control again.
And that's what legislature comes into play, folks. And if you're wondering about impeachment, you know, listen, it's not going to happen. It hasn't been. It's been 100 years, you know, since a governor was impeached in this state. Though, if you're thinking about, see, I thought about Elliot Spitzer way back, and I remember back in 08, articles were ready to go as far as against Governor Spitzer, and that for all the, you know, all the sideshow stuff he was doing. But he chose to resign, thank goodness. But, you know, listen, emergency powers, you strip it, it is absolutely in play. And I think the public would benefit in a big way. I mean, listen, you put the state legislature back in charge, ensuring whatever actions it's taken to fight this pandemic, put it in a more balanced approach, more reasonable approach than what we have seen. I mean, listen, even the silliness, and it's not even silly anymore. It's real. The fact of extending a curfew, Senator, an hour. People wanted midnight. You know, we had Jerry Gandolfo on here. He put forth some listen, you could have made it to midnight, allowing these restaurants to function properly. 11 o'clock is like, you know what? That's, you know what that says to me? It says, listen, I hear you, but I'm doing it my way, and I'm only giving you an hour extra. I am not going to go with what the consensus is of what people want. I mean, even Laura Curran, for crying out loud, in Nassau County was writing letters saying, you know what, please extend to 12 o'clock. I mean, he could even do that with the levels as low as they are now. What would be the harm? He still doesn't think that people can police themselves, that proprietors cannot police themselves. Disgraceful to go to 11 and you couldn't go to midnight? Oh, my goodness. I tell you, that's another example right there.
And isn't it crazy, though, when you think about it? That is it in a nutshell. When you think about the control that he has to impose on people, just for something like that. Because, you know, at 11:01, that's when coronavirus comes out. You know, if you're there doing whatever you're doing at 10:59, you're fine. But 2 minutes later, let me tell you, it's going to get dangerous. I mean, that's how silly this is, that he can't go to midnight. Just let them open until whenever. That you're trying to, what are you trying to restrict? Give them the opportunity, like restaurants, to have a second seating at 9:30. You know, instead of having everybody come in at 6, 7, 8 o'clock, and you can turn those tables over and maybe even have a second seating of people because you have only a handful of people in the restaurant because of social distancing and what have you. And that's just the point, that he treats us like petulant children. And it's kind of insane when you really think about it. That is a perfect example of how there's almost like a mental health issue there, that everyone's asking for midnight, and because you can say so, you said you give them 11. You know, it's like fighting with your kids. Well, come on, Dad, I don't want to be home. Can I stay out till midnight? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll compromise. I think you should be home at 10. You can come home at 11. All right? That's a fair enough compromise. Like we're children. It's insane. It's insane. And this is where we are. And, you know, the two Democrat majority in the legislative houses in New York have always been a little bit reluctant to go after the governor, as I said, because he can be tough and he can be spiteful. And they've all, you know, held hands and sung kumbaya all these years. And now that there's a super majority in both houses, you know, you've got many of them who are afraid to go after the governor. But you know what I'm seeing, Jay, and this is, I think, a breath of fresh air, is the new young socialists, the 20-somethings that have run on as DSA, you know, liberal, radical, progressive, whatever you want to call them, from the city. They don't care, because they have bucked the system. They have gone after the traditional old-school Democrats. I don't know if you – and I know you saw in the previous election. You had really senior, longtime legislators lose races, lose primaries to the super progressive young ones who want free college and all this other stuff. They picked off establishment candidates. So they don't really care. They have no loyalty, and they're pretty fearless. They're the ones that you hear clamoring now, making noise, and the leadership has had to follow suit because they know that there's a groundswell of support for the real lefties, if you want to call them that, the real progressives in the legislature. So I think the longtime senior leadership have actually had to fall in line with the new progressives because they're the ones that are going after the governor. And the other one said, you know what, this seems to be gaining traction. I better get on board before they may even lose a leadership post. So it's politics 101. It's inside baseball, whatever you want to call it. But these people are politicians in the end. And when it comes to saving their own skin, to the dismay of the governor, they're going to do it.
Senator Plumbo with us. Senator, I got a little over a minute left. I want to hit this on you. Where the governor moved toward, I guess, the progressives' view on the legalization of recreational marijuana. He's looking at, I think I read it, that $350 million it could generate annually for the state. This is a very sore subject right now, especially when it comes to enforcement and how lack thereof we are in that area. A very dangerous road, at least in my opinion, to go down to. But an easy one when you look at some of the policies and the failed numbers and everything else. How in real time is this about to happen, or will it happen in your estimation?
Yeah, and I think it's a terrible time to do it with depression and drug abuse up during the pandemic. But my opinion is, and from what I'm seeing through the budget talks, is it is going to happen. I'm going to vote against it, but the two majorities, the Democrats have agreed they need the revenue, and because of the crisis and many other reasons, they are going to legalize it. The discussion is primarily at this point how they're going to spend the money, because they want it to be focused on inner cities and areas, some $100 million of it at least, toward reparations to those communities that are most affected by the drug culture. So they're more talking about how they're spending the money. I don't think the revenue projections are accurate. I think it's going to be less. But they have resigned themselves to the fact, in my opinion, that the Democrat majorities as well as the governor are legalizing marijuana in this budget. I'd like to see it as a standalone bill so we can properly vet and debate it even more so than they're going to. But that's not going to happen, I don't think. They've got their majorities. They've got their agenda, and I think it's going to go forward.
And as you said, to me it's very vague as well, as far as the actual plan itself, how it would be implemented. Very, very hazy. You make a good point. This time right now, depression, opioids are at the top of the charts here, drug addiction. Wrong time to be discussing this, no question. Senator, always a pleasure to have you here. And we will talk soon. A lot on the table. We'll see what comes out of this mess as well with the nursing homes. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good day. Thanks, Jay.